You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Fraser.
This is your seat at the table. Welcome to Business Lunch with Roland Fraser. This is producer Darren Clark, and Roland has some more great content for you today on how to achieve massive business growth. Remember, if you want to dig in further with Roland, head over to our site, businesslunchpodcast.com, and sign up for exclusive content from Roland to your inbox. We'll be dropping another sit-down interview this Wednesday, so take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Should you sniff the neck or do this instead? I want to create a men's fragrance to expand my product line. Donna Karen's words hung in the air as her team tried to take them in. Over the previous 9 years, she'd built a respected fashion house on a platform of 7 easy pieces. It was a brilliant idea, 7 simple fashion pieces that could be layered and mixed to take women from morning to evening, and it had caught fire. Using that platform, she built a very successful business, but now she felt it was time to expand. She continued addressing her team, including then Vice President Bernd Ullman, who related much of this story to me. "I'm not quite sure how to describe the scent," she said, raising her hand to her chin, searching her vocabulary for the precise words to express the essence of the scent. "Really, it should smell like my husband's neck," she finally concluded. She fixed her gaze on each member of the team in turn, trying to determine whether they got it. Because the team was relatively unfamiliar with the exact scent of Donna's husband's neck, they realized that the only way they could ever hope to capture it was to start sniffing that very neck. So, over the course of the next 36 months, her husband at the time, Stefan Weiss, would have his neck sniffed countless times as the team strove to develop their fragrances in-house. Sadly, after countless sniffs and over $20 million in invested capital, the team had still not succeeded in capturing the elusive scent in a way that translated into a profitable brand extension. So frustrated at the ever-growing investment and continuing failures to hit the mark, the company finally decided to contact a world-class purveyor of scents, Estee Lauder, and license them the Donna Karen moniker. Abandoning their attempts to develop the fragrance in-house, Donna Karen would let the experts use their experience in the cologne and perfume market to create, market, and distribute the brand's fragrance lines. Incidentally, rumor has it that this 3-year period of in-house development stalled an IPO, an initial public offering, for the company, dramatically impacted profits, and even broke up the original consortium of Japanese investors that had staked her company from its founding. Once the decision to license rather than develop in-house was made, Estee Lauder produced and marketed DK for Men, and Donna Karen rapidly expanded its fragrances revenues. And seeing the benefits and cost savings of licensing the brand to world-class partners already dominant in their respective spaces versus creating non-core products in-house, the Donna Karen company eagerly embraced licensing as a primary vehicle for expanding the business. In fact, just 2 years later, the company had dramatically expanded its products and markets with over a dozen different product license agreements for everything from jeans to pantyhose, intimate apparel, eyewear, children's apparel, men's apparel, ties, scarves, leather goods, dress patterns, and more. And during this time, the company grew sales from $196 million and profits of $7 million to sales of $510 million, that's over a half a billion, and profits of $54 million, primarily through the series of licenses and strategic relationships. That's a 2-year, almost 8-fold increase in profits, largely as a result of licensing. 25-plus years later, Donna Karen has expanded its fragrance offerings to over 160 different scents, with many different perfumers, including Rodrigo Flores Rue, IFF, Alberto Marias, Harry Fremont, Trudy Lawrence, Steven Nielsen, etc., etc., etc. The list goes on. Not surprisingly, none of those relationships or licenses required the sniffing of anyone's neck. Licensing your name or brand works best in one of 3 different situations. 1, where you created a business with high brand equity and a loyal base of customers, like Donna Karen did. Here, you have a core product and or market, and you take the brand equity that you've created and leverage it by allowing third parties to use your brand to market the thing they're good at, like DK did with fragrances, with Estee Lauder, to a market that they've already developed, like Estee Lauder's retail perfume store relationships. 2, if you are a personality or influencer with a large number of fans or followers, This is basically the same as number one, except it applies more to you as a personality as opposed to a personality-independent brand that you've developed. So it's pretty much the same playbook, just it's applying to you as a personality. And three, if you've invented something but don't already have a customer base or distribution channel to sell in, this is something you see a lot on Shark Tank. So you could spend years and millions to acquire customers and master distribution, or you could just tap into somebody else's customers and sales channels. So you don't have to be a huge world-renowned brand like Donna Karan, by the way, to take advantage of licensing. If you're a small company with a great product, frequently your best option is to go to a larger company that already has resources and distribution to get your product to market faster or to help it reach larger markets. This is something, like I said, that you see a lot on Shark Tank. The sharks have relationships or just know about companies that specialize in distribution of products through their existing channels. And all the sharks have to do is take the new product to one of those companies and boom, they have virtually instantaneous sales and profits. And that's exactly what our friend Damon John did when he worked with us to market and sell the Spy Escape product that he invested in on one of the Shark Tank shows. We had a huge audience of people who would be perfect buyers for the product. So Damon made a deal with us to market and sell the product to our existing customer base through our existing distribution channels, our website, email list, social channels, and such. And we ended up selling several million dollars of the product and forming a great relationship with Damon in the meantime. Kylie Jenner, also perfect example of someone who started out creating a social audience and then lent her name to other brands to create clothing lines, ultimately partnering with a world-class cosmetics manufacturer called Seed Beauty to co-create products. And while most of what we talked about so far applies to physical products, you can also license your intellectual property like courses you create or stories you write or songs that you write. Many well-known authors do this and also not so well-known. They create a book or a course or a podcast or social media channel, and then they license their name or content or course to other people who have customer and distribution channels to market and sell it to. So we see this quite a bit, even in our own business, where we license our content to other businesses that want digital marketing educational materials for their audiences. We do that with our company, digitalmarketer.com. And the way it works is they pay us for the use of our content, and then we benefit from royalty payments while they and their audiences benefit from having access to our really good training materials. It makes sense for us to do this because by doing it, we receive brand exposure to huge audiences that we haven't yet touched or that would be very expensive to build or acquire. And so as you think about growing your business, don't forget that one of the fastest ways to increase your reach and your product line is to enter into licensing relationships with other businesses that have already been where you want to go in their market. Remember, licensing is all profit, so everything you receive from licensing royalties is falling to your bottom line. If you were to enter and develop a $10 million market yourself and operate at an 8% profit margin, that would generate an additional $800,000 in profit for you. So you've built a $10 million audience, it cost you a ton of money, you're gonna net 8%, so you made $800,000. But if instead you licensed your name or product or intellectual property to somebody else that already had that market, you'd save all the time and investment and risk of building the market yourself. And at a 10% license fee, you'd actually make $200,000 more in profit. So when you're looking to rapidly grow your business, licensing can be one of the best options available.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.